He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he has gone in to lodge with a man that is a sinner. It is written, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. It is written. And Jesus said unto him, today is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. It is written. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, a man called by name Zacchaeus. And he was a chief publican, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran on before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. And when by the gift of his infinite grace I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and look on his face, will through the ages be glory for me. Now friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory, glory for me.
God is just a prayer
Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Luke 19 entitled, Behold, a Man. And he entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, a man called by name Zacchaeus. And he sought to see Jesus. Behold, a man. Behold, a short man. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. He was not only little of stature as a short man physically, but he was a short man spiritually. Paul also spoke of Zacchaeus in the book of Romans. He did not call him Zacchaeus, he called him by his real name. The real name of Zacchaeus was Come Short. He was little of stature. Paul said, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Actually, come short is my real name, and come short is your real name. I do not know of anyone who doesn't come short. Behold, a man, a short man. It is amazing that Zacchaeus could not see Jesus, even if he was little of stature, even if he did come short, because he was a chief publican and he was rich. Usually men who are in the chief position and rich can do anything. They can sway politicians, influence people, and sway preachers. A man who is a chief and rich can do almost anything. But it is significant that it says here, he could not. Here was something that even a rich man could not do. It says he could not. America needs to learn that money is not the answer to everything. The well-known patriotic song has been rewritten this way. Oh, beautiful for dividends of 25% on steel and oil and real estate on money freely lent. O blessed land of bumper crops, may riches be our fate. Increase our wealth and save our health, America the Great. In spite of his riches, he was not tall enough to see Jesus in the crowd. Actually, no one is tall enough to see Jesus in the crowd. Some cannot see Jesus because of a crowd of preachers. Many a person could see how to get into Christ, but their preacher stands in the way. A preacher blocks the view. Sometimes some cannot see Jesus because of a crowd of hypocrites. Somehow, when they think of the Lord, they put themselves right behind the hypocrite and let him block out Jesus. Others cannot see Jesus because of a crowd of their friends. The lifestyle of some friendships is enough to block out the view of Jesus as he passes through their Jericho. Behold, a man. Behold, a man, an ingenious man. Zacchaeus was not only a short man, but he was an ingenious man. He found a way to see Jesus. He ran on before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. As he ran down the street, no doubt someone said, Behold, he joggeth. Zacchaeus was a chief, and he was rich, and such a man as this would find a way to get to see Jesus. Some might wonder why he went all the trouble to climb a tree. Why did he not ask someone in the crowd what they thought about Jesus and take their word for it? Zacchaeus was a man who was not satisfied with second-hand information on this important matter. He wanted to see first-hand. Were you satisfied with second-hand information about the plan of salvation? How about the terms of pardon? Did you take some preacher's word for it? Or do you know what the Bible says by first-hand experience? Did you run on ahead and climb the sycamore tree? I know a lot of good preachers. I know some that if they could get in a time machine and go back to the days of the apostles, I believe they could stand shoulder to shoulder with first-century preachers and do just as well as they. I know some preachers that I trust greatly. But I don't know any preacher that I would trust with the knowledge of the plan of salvation. I want to see for myself black on white, and sometimes the words of Jesus read on white. I am not going to be satisfied with any man's testimony. I want to see it for myself. I want to see Jesus who he is and see it for myself. Like Zacchaeus, I don't want a hand-me-down religion. Behold, a man. And now, behold, a wise man. Jesus saw Zacchaeus perched up in the tree and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Jesus was the greatest evangelist. He met Jesus. He met Zacchaeus as he was passing through Jericho. Everybody he met was a prospect for the kingdom. Notice that Jesus called him by name. He seemed to know who he was. This is normal procedure for Jesus. He one time said that the good shepherd knoweth his sheep and calleth his sheep by name. He called Matthew by name when he called him. He called Lazarus by name when he called him back from the dead. He called Mary by name at the empty tomb. And he will call all the redeemed by name when he returns and calls us from the grave. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The Master is here and calleth for thee. The gospel chorus says it for us. When he calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Zacchaeus, then, when he heard Jesus call him, made haste and came down and received him joyfully. The invitation continues today. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, then I will give you rest. Come on down. He that cometh unto me, I will nowise cast out. Come on down. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come on down. Behold, I come quickly. Come on down. He calls us through faithful gospel preaching. Come on down. He calls us now through the working of our conscience. Come on down. He calls us through the providence of sickness or accident or the loss of a loved one. Come on down. Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Many folk I know will be up a tree on the judgment day. The invitation continues. Come on down. Feel your pulse. Your pulse says now. Feel your heart. Your heartbeat says now. Look at the calendar. The calendar says now. Zacchaeus made a wise decision. He came down and received him joyfully. Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide. In the strife of good or falsehood, twixt the good or evil side, some great cause God's great Messiah offers each the bloom or blight, and that choice goes on forever, twixt that darkness and that light. Zacchaeus made a wise decision, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. To come down at the invitation of Jesus was a wise decision. Paul says in Corinthians, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but to the saved it is the power of God. He was wise also because Jesus said, every one that heareth these words of mine and doeth them is like unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Zacchaeus made a wise choice when Jesus said to him, come on down. And now notice also, behold, a repentant man. Zacchaeus was a man who needed to repent, and he did repent. Everyone knew that the publicans were crooks. Publicans were tax collectors, and the usual method for a good publican was to overtax each person and pocket what was over the required amount. Rome did not ask too many questions. Just so the government got there, if they did not care how much gouging the collectors did. Zacchaeus was a chief publican. He was rich. He was an executive in the organization. Some may have thought his philosophy of tax collecting was something like this. Tax his cow, tax his goat, tax his pants and tax his coat. Tax his crops, tax his work, tax his tie and tax his shirt. Tax his oil, tax his gas, tax his notes, tax his cash. Tax him good and let him know, After Texas, he has no dough. If he hollers, tax him more. Tax him till he's good and sore. Tax his coffin, tax his grave. Tax the sod in which he lays. Put these words upon his tomb. Taxes drove me to my doom. And after he's gone, he can't relax. They'll still be after inheritance tax. But Zacchaeus repented. He told the Lord that he would give half of his goods to the poor. And if he had exacted aught of any man, he would restore fourfold. When Zacchaeus met Jesus, his life was completely turned around. Repentance is being sorry enough to quit. Many like to point out that in every sermon I recite Acts 2:38 to emphasize baptism. I would like to point out that every time I have used Acts 2:38, I have mentioned repentance as many times as baptism. It may be difficult to get people to be scripturally baptized as far as the action is concerned, but it is even more difficult to get them to repent. There is no way you can baptize a person who has not personally repented. Without repentance, your baptism was an empty form, signifying nothing. Jesus never flattered the sinner on his sin. He loved the sinner, but he never said or did anything that gave any indication that he approved of sin. His message was, repent. Be sorry enough to quit. One man one time who met the Lord repented and decided to make amends wherever he could. He paid a visit to a local farmer and told him that he had become a Christian and was a new man. He said, I want to ask your forgiveness for stealing from you. The farmer asked him what he had stolen, and the man produced a rope about 20 feet long. I ask you to forgive me. I'm bringing back the rope. The farmer said, that's all right. I never missed it. Just throw it over there in the corner somewhere. A few days later, he came back with the same story. I'm a new man, he said. I want you to forgive me for stealing from you. The farmer said, I thought we covered that the other day. The man said, yes, I know, but there's one thing I neglected to tell you. That rope I stole from you had a cow tied to the end of it. Today I'm bringing back the cow. Now that is what repentance is. It is bringing back the rope, the cow, the whole cow, horns, hooves, tail, and milk bucket. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, Jesus said. Repentance is a step in the plan of salvation that is necessary for everybody. No one is exempt. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I remember reading in history of a preacher by the name of Peter Cartwright. He was a famous preacher of his day in the early part of the 19th century. It was brought to his attention during one church service that General Andrew Jackson was in the audience. Cartwright made the announcement that Old Hickory, General Jackson, was present. Then he added, unless General Jackson repents, he will go to hell just like anybody else. Later on, General Jackson became president. He had complimented the preacher for his faithfulness. Behold, a man. Behold, a hospitable man. Jesus told Zacchaeus, today I must abide at thy house. Zacchaeus, I'm going home with you. He was a hospitable man. Jesus wants to go home with you. When we meet for services, we usually sing a closing chorus as the last order of worship. Then as we leave, in a manner of speaking, many say, goodbye, Jesus. We will see you next week if something else more important doesn't happen. Actually, Jesus wants to go home with you. Let me ask you something. Do you have a problem with that? Will you say, wait a minute, Lord. I'll have to send somebody on ahead to fumigate the place, to remove some of those magazines I have. Jesus went home with Zacchaeus, and he received him joyfully. Behold, a man. Behold, a generous man. Zacchaeus was a generous man. Remember, he said he would restore fourfold and give half of everything to the poor. Not long before this, the rich young ruler had come to Jesus, and the Lord told him to go sell everything he had and give to the poor. He went away sorrowful. Zacchaeus said he would only give 50%. The Lord said to him, "Sounds like a good deal. I'll take it." Money was the problem with the rich young ruler, but this was not the problem with Zacchaeus. He was a generous man. In the case of the rich young ruler, he did not have any money. His money had him. Some might have said, "Zac, you don't have to give all that much. All that is required, perhaps, is only 10%. Zacchaeus would have said, "That may be all right for you, legalist, but I have seen Jesus. He has been in my home. I know him personally. Behold, a generous man." Then again, behold, a mysterious man. Zacchaeus, in a way, is very mysterious. He lived in Jericho. He was a chief publican. Jerusalem was only 18 miles away, and yet he did not know anything about Jesus, in spite of the fact that Jesus had been around for over 3 years at that time. The Lord was on his way at that time to Jerusalem to die on the cross. His ministry was almost over. He had spent much time in Jerusalem, and here was a prominent man in a nearby town who seemed to know so little about him. A person can't help but wonder, how come their paths never crossed before? Somehow, some way. But that's the way it is. It is amazing to me how many prominent people today seem to know so little about Jesus. People who are very knowledgeable in other areas, and yet know almost nothing about the real Jesus of the New Testament. The New Testament might as well be a book that has been censored. It is right at the fingertips of all, and yet there is an ignorance of it. I wonder, how many members of the Congress, how many members of the Supreme Court, have any idea in this world about the law of pardon that Peter gave on the day of Pentecost? People are knowledgeable about everything else, but the most important matter of all, Zacchaeus sought Jesus just in time. This would be his last go-around. He would not be returning to Jerusalem again. It was now or never. Behold a man. And now, last of all, we note, Zacchaeus was a saved man. This was the most important thing of all about Zacchaeus. He became a saved man. We know he was saved because Jesus said so. "Today is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." When Jesus declared that a person is saved, that person is saved. We can have the same assurance. When the Lord went away, he told the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." There it is. If you believe the gospel, that is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, and you are immersed upon the confession of that faith, you have been saved. You have the Lord's word for it. Salvation is come to your house. Another aspect of this salvation is when Paul said in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, "As many of us as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be neither male nor female. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. But you're all one man in Christ Jesus. And if Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise." In the new covenant, which began on the day of Pentecost, the day the church began, we can also become the seed of Abraham when we are obedient to the terms of pardon that Peter gave when he said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, why did Jesus come? He said the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Why did Jesus come? He said, I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. Why did Jesus come? He said, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Why did Jesus come? He said, I am come a light into the world. Why will the Son of God come again? He said, the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then will he render unto every man according to his deeds. Why will the Son of Man come again? He said he would come again to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. And he entered, and was passing through Jericho. Behold, a man. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The God is Just a Prayer Away broadcast address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Now, until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell someone somehow and in some way that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.